coming to speak for us tonight. I asked Brother Tweedy to come share with us tonight. He's been talking to me about some things that God's blessed him with and helped him with. And I've asked Brother Tweedy if he'd come and speak to us tonight. God has been helping him through some things, and I think he can help you to receive some of the things maybe God has shown him. And I want you to give Brother Tweedy a hand as he comes tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Brother Stroop asked me to preach on the way out the door this morning, this afternoon. And I said, I'll speak. And the reason I said that, I may think he's preaching the truth. You're preaching the truth better than I've ever heard you preach the truth. Keep preaching the truth. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been on a journey. I shared a little bit with Pastor. I may share a little bit tonight. I don't have time to share it all. But I've been on a, most of you know, and I appreciate all the prayers for my family and for Marlene when she went through her illness. And I lost my wife almost 7 months ago. Not from cancer, but probably from the treatments from cancer. You know, I mean, that's just the way sometimes it is. And appreciate all the prayers and people that prayed and everything that was done when she passed away. And I appreciate that so much. I know my family does. But I've been on a journey recently. Let me say this. You can't fix it. I want you to keep that in mind. You can't fix it. But let me tell you something. You can be involved in it. God's looking for people that want to be involved in what he's doing. Pastor preached really good last week. Preached really good today. I'm telling you, folks, you'd have to drive a long way to hear any more truth than you heard last Sunday and this Sunday. I'll just say that. And by the way, we're not in a mutual admiration society. He knows me, and you know, I mean, that's not what I'm just saying. I just tell the truth. And I was thinking, I don't know why, I'll say this, and one thing I'll share with you. After my wife passed, I went through a spiritual battle. God, why did you take her the way you did? Why didn't you heal her? Those things that go through your mind. And I told Brother Stroop the other week, I was talking to him a little bit, and I said, you know, I was in a spiritual battle for my very soul for a while. You know, you doubt everything you've been taught. And how many knows that when that happens and you can't read the word to comprehend it, and you pray the best that you can, and God helped me to do that, and sometimes I just call on, but I will tell you this, and you get a listen to this. When he preaches the truth, you better put it in the depository in your very being. It's not enough just to hear it go through your ears. You better deposit it, because when you have to lean on it, and you have to draw on it, the Holy Ghost can take it if it's in there. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost don't make you smarter in the Word. He helps you to understand the Word. And I learned it. I said, I didn't open the Bible from August the 25th, the day my wife passed, until sometime in November. But I, you know what? And I go through, but I had Word in me. I did go to church some and hear the Word. But I just could not get focused. I couldn't get my eyes focused. I couldn't get my mind focused. And I wasn't mad at God per se. But I'm going to tell you, there's a competition in the spirit realm right now. And I want to just share with you just a little bit tonight. And maybe I'll share a couple of things that's God is. I've been on a dual track. I've been on a track of grief. And on the same time, I've had people come across my pathway that were not Christians that blessed me. I've had Jewish people to bless me. I've had Catholics to bless me. And they said some things that helped me get through my grief. And then on the other track I was on, I got an opportunity to help them with the truth of God's word. Let me tell you something. If you're going to give something to somebody, you got to give them the truth. They need to, you should know the truth. The truth sometimes can set you free from things. And then people tell me, I'm glad you told me that. I've been carrying that around a long time. You're the first person that understood. I said, I didn't do it. Holy Ghost did it. Turn with me to the book of Peter, and I'll preach a little probably. First time I've been in a pulpit in a while, and I'll preach a little bit. I'm not going to keep you real late. Now, if God gets in it, and by the way, I tell people, if you take me out to eat with you, be careful because I don't know what God's going to do. I'll be honest with you, folks. I go to work sometimes and have prayer meeting on the phone at my office. You know, I want to get like Sister Culpepper. You know, they say over Cleveland, she'll lay hands on people and pray for people. Let me tell you something, folks. If you got the Spirit of God in your life, share it with people. You know, you can't force it on them. You can't fix them. But you can share what you have. You can share the Word. And I tell people, I don't know what God's going to do with me next. I don't know where I'm headed. I will say this. I never dreamed. I'll share this with you as you turn to the first, to 2 Peter chapter 2. Just hold it there. I'm going to read some verses out of the first three and a few down in there. But a few weeks ago, decided it was one of those days that was storming. I came here Sunday morning, heard Brother Street preach, and I got in the automobile and went to Fulton, Mississippi. Now, if you don't know where that's at, if you go find Hamilton, Alabama, just keep going a little ways, and you'll come over there, and it's almost where that tornado at Smithville went through there the other year and tore everything up. I got a friend of mine, pastor's up there. And I go in there, and I didn't tell him I was coming, and it rained on me, and I stopped to get gas and got soaked, and finally got to the church, and they said, we got prayer meeting back in the pastor's office. So I go back to the pastor's office, testified a little bit, and this guy walks up to me, lays his hand on my chest, and prophesies over me. And I said, well, that sounds good, brother. You know, I'll keep that in mind. Go out in the service, and before they can get the second chorus done, I'm sitting on this side at the front. Pastor was sitting there. He's up helping the praise team. And a guy, I'm worshiping, my eyes are closed, and do you have anybody tap you on the foot? He got a pan of warm water and a towel. And he said, take your shoes off, brother. Never had it happen before. How many have been to foot washing? By the way, Bible says you should do those things, but no time. And I looked around. I said, must be foot washing night. No, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm sorry. So there's still some, they didn't miss a beat. Piano players playing, praise teams praising, people worshiping. Nobody looked my way. And I got wet. It was 40 degrees. That water was good. But the man's got tears running down his face as he washes my face. I never met him in my life. He said, God, I said, how come I got to be the person to have foot washing? He said, God told me to. So I've got prophesied over, and I've got a foot washing. They ain't got through the second song. And I said, God, what are you doing here? What am I doing here? And by the way, I didn't speak that night. How many know sometimes God just sort of pours things in you? But he don't pour it in you to make you feel good then. He pours it in you to get it in you, to get it through you to somebody else, you know. And I thought, wow, this is it. So, man finally preached, and I got up to testify just a teeny bit, probably 30 seconds, about all I could get out that night. And the man that preached about what we were talking about in the prayer meeting, he wasn't in. So I come to find out a little bit later. And by the way, I tell you this, I got a phone call in the service. My phone was on vibrate, and I look at it, and it's from Maryland, and I know the man's calling, and I run a company. It's a not-for-profit company, in a sense, that but we get a bonus if we do a good job and all kinds of stuff, and he had called to tell me, I got good news for you. So how many's ever been prophesied over, and then 40 minutes later, it comes true? Well, so I called the pastor. I said, tell that man that prophesied over. He said, brother, he's been going to church for years here. He ain't never said that to anybody. What I'm telling you is, folks, God's got a spirit that moves. And he's only going to move when you're obedient to the Spirit. So I got foot washed. Preacher hadn't preached yet. And now they have somebody runs to the altar. And somebody wants prayer. And there's a 12-year-old, 12 or 13, he don't have pimples yet. He's standing right here. And he's got his hand on an older gentleman. And he's speaking in tongues. And after a while, he starts prophesying over him. I said, God, I've seen a lot of things happen. Like, God. So they had an altar. People got prayed for. So the preacher preaches. He didn't preach evangelistic. But I talked to the pastor the next week, and he said, oh, Brother Tweedy, he said, we had three backsliders that got saved sometime during that whole service. And we had one man that was trying to get healed, but said he'd been coming and never been saved. He prayed through for the first time in his life, and he was 70 years old. Now, let me tell you something. You can't fix those things, but the Spirit can. Folks, we're in competition tonight, and God has showed this to me as plain as I know my name, and I know my name pretty well. And read with me here just a little bit in the book of 2 Peter. We're in a warfare, folks, and it's not always the warfare, Pastor's been talking about the warfare outside of organized religion or outside of even Pentecostalism, if you will. There's a warfare going on. And and I've seen God do things. God, how did you do that? How did you do that? And he says, I'm God. I can do these things. Read me in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a longer time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I won't go through. Peter goes on here and explains a little bit down through about verse 14 what's going to happen to these folks. But let me tell you this. The Christ himself talks about it. Paul talked about it. Jude talked about it. How many knows that we still got it today? What I'm saying, you better know what you believe. Let me tell you something. I talked to the pastor again up in Mississippi. He said, I talked to him a month later. He said, by the way, the week after we're here, we baptized 15 in water. What they're doing, they're winning people that's never been churched. They're winning young people. A friend of mine that works my office sometimes says there's 150 of them out of East Alabama, out of Clay County, and out of East Alabama that's been in devil worship and all kinds of things, and they've got them saved. What I'm saying, God's doing great things, and it does not get the publicity that the bad things get. And you know what? We can't fix people. You can pour oil on them all night long. You can knock them down. You know, if the Spirit of God doesn't come on and touch situations, you can't fix it. So God has told me, and I got a confirmation. Another person prophesied on me. I said, God gives me things to tell people. He said, you're the messenger. I said, well, I think you're right, because I can't fix it. But what I'm saying, we're in a spiritual war, and Pastor really has fired me up the last couple of weeks with his preaching, because let me give you a couple of things about Old Testament prophets. How many's got a pencil? I got a few things you need to write down. You say, why? Because you need to take it home with you and look at it again. And but let me give you five things that are common to Old Testament prophets. How many knows that God moved on them, Bible says, and anointed them? And there's five things that come out. One of those is they had a close relationship with God. These things don't happen. I mentioned last week after the service that I've been on the potter's wheel. My grief caused me to be so broken that I got so sensitive to the Spirit, and God had to tell me this. God, why can't I pray for myself, but I can pray for other people? I asked God that 100 times or more. And in his own way, he sort of said, you know, you're on the wheel. And sometimes I've left here a few times before I get to my automobile, if I was by myself, I've wept before I get there. I said, God, have you got me back on the wheel again? Are you still working with me again? But here's five things. One, they had a close relationship with God. By the way, Christianity is not based on a location. How many knows what a location is? A location, God's moving over there. A Christianity is based on a relationship. That's number two. The prophets reacted to sin like God did. He hated it. He hated it. But he loved people. And the prophets were prophesying that their people would repent. Brother Stu don't preach, or any other preacher, don't preach to be hard. You preach the truth. And by the way, you said something this morning, Pastor, and I will say it again. If anybody thinks there's no absolutes in the Bible, then the devil's got you hoodwinked and you've got deep trouble. There are some absolutes in God's word. Number three, he hated compromise. The sin of the modern church, morally flabby, compromise. The devil will help you to explain away your conduct if you allow him to do so. And the prophets would tell them, God's not pleased with that. And you made a point this morning. It's not what the young people at that church thinks right. It's what thus saith the Lord thinks right. Number four, the prophets of the Old Testament challenged the status quo of their time. And they said, if you want to get back to God, heartfelt obedience gets back to God. And God has taught me the obedience lesson. I say, God, why am I doing this? I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel very spiritual today. And God said, you do this because I told you to do this. Or it pressed you in my spirit to do this. And I wish I had felt spiritual in my journey more. But it seemed like the days aren't, I'm not spiritual, I don't feel spiritual. By the way, I learned a lesson about feeling spiritual. Feeling spiritual, and I got some favorite songs, and I like them. How many's got a favorite song? But you like it. You want them to sing your song. Or you like to hear a certain person preach, and they really get your motor turned on. If that's not true, you know, people travel around with their favorite. All those are important. But how many knows that's not really about being spiritual? About being spiritual. If you want to be spiritual, obey what the Spirit says. And you may not feel spiritual. And I'm going to tell you a miracle that happened, and I didn't feel very spiritual. In fact, I just talked to this man about 3 or 4 days ago. Back in January, and you got to listen to me a little bit, folks, because I'm going to tell you that God's still doing miracles. I got up one Thursday morning, and I had a peace over me. Been grieving, had a peace over me. It was early January, after Christmas, after New Year's. And I stopped and got some breakfast up here somewhere, and I was going to a health food store up in Hoover. And I got there probably around 10 o'clock that morning. And I don't know, it seemed like I was in a... How many has ever been someplace you linger around? You just sort of mill around. Now women like to linger and shop. I know what I want. I had my 4 jugs of alkaline water in my basket. And I'm ready to go. And I go down the aisle, and I got to lingering at the tea counter. Any kind of tea you want. I got enough tea, I could start my own tea shop at home. I don't need tea. So I turn the corner and go back up the other aisle, and there's multivitamins there. Well, I got 3 or 4 different kinds I'm trying out, so I don't need any multivitamins. And I'm just standing there. Now, when my wife passed, I said, God, the doctors can't or won't tell me anything. I didn't pursue it. We didn't know, we suspect what happened. I said, God, I prayed this, my sisters heard. God, send somebody across my path that can answer questions. Now, I prayed that in September many, many times. Well, in January, I'm up there lingering around, and there's a guy that comes in behind me. His name's Jody. He lingers behind me, and I turned around and said, yeah, I used to use that. That stuff's good. You can use that, you know. And I went on back down. He come back down and said, you know, I'm learning more about vitamins since my wife passed away of cancer. I said, well, by the way, I lost my wife to comprehensive cancer in August. And I turn back. He turns on the aisle and looks me face to face, and he answers every question without me asking it. His wife died the same way that my wife did. Now, I want you to listen to something, folks. You got to listen to this. There's something called extending the blessing that a lot of people don't know. So many people pray for their loved ones and their family, and they don't realize there's other hurting people out there. And God, as I'm standing here tonight, I'm telling you, God showed me this principle, Spirit. It's called extending the blessing. I got a sister-in-law who was with us the day Marlene passed away. Connie, she's from Haleyville. My sister Linda, many of you know her. She had left that evening a little while before. Well, the devil had beat them up since August all the way to January about, did they do something that contributed to my wife's death? And I knew this. I mean, the devil, when I say bad, they were getting beat up bad. And so this guy, isn't God a good God? He answers every question like I'd written them out. It was a divine appointment. 40 minutes I waited on him. He come in 40 minutes later, and then he said, I'm in a hurry. Can you speak your, he said, I got, now look, by the way, he looked at me and said, you're the first person in 7 years. He lost my wife. First, this man hugs me, puts a bear hug on me in the middle of the store, and I don't know him from Adam, anybody. I said, God, that's a miracle. So I called my sister-in-law first, and I called my sister, and they said, you'll never know what you just told me, how that the devil can't beat me up over this anymore. I say, God, you're a good God. You're a good God. Now, this man never got in contact with me. He needs me more than I need him. He answered my question. So now I've got a man that still got some hurts from 7 years ago that I've got to minister to at some point. Because he called me on the phone. He put my email address in his phone, and then he loaded it in his computer. His computer died the next day, and he'd been sick, and it's been about 2 months. And he calls me last week, 9:30 at night at the office. I had to be there. I'd forgotten my phone, went to the car and came back, and the phone call comes in. That's not coincidence, folks. That's God. He said, I need to talk to you. He said, I'm hurting. I need to talk to you. I said, I'm going to get with you at some point. What I'm saying here, we're in a spiritual war. The devil likes to torment people. He likes, you know, and my sister and sister-in-law were tormented by this because they thought he had done the same thing. He had an autopsy done on his wife, and I didn't. Now, they didn't get to the same place as my wife did. I mean, the same journey, but then when they got there, it was 99% identical to what happened to them. And I said, God. People told me when I prayed that prayer that would never happen. I got a sister that's not a real believer right now, and she's starting to believe. It's amazing. And what I'm saying here is when you get back to who God is and why these people preached, the devil tries to rob you of who you are and whose you are and what authority that you have. And I say, God, you can do anything. I didn't feel spiritual that day, but I got a spiritual answer. What I'm saying is, folks, by the way, how many knows that you can feel the peace of God in your life, but not spiritual as people think you should be? You know, I like to jump up and down once in a while too, but I ain't jumped up and down much the last 7 months. But God has been with me all the way. It's called a Holy Ghost. I'm going somewhere with this message. It's called the Holy Ghost. I mentioned a little bit last Sunday night. Folks, if you think you want to make it in this generation, in this time, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're deceived. You're going to need the Spirit of the living God in you to bring whatever you've got down in there out of you when you need it. It's not good enough just to come to church and say, well, my name's written. What God wants, he wants people to make a difference in people's lives. Not fix everything you can, because how many knows you can't carry your own burdens? You cast them on him. You sure can't carry somebody else's. But I'll tell you this, you'll never be an intercessor until you've got the intercessor in you. And I'll tell you, when I start talking about the Spirit, folks, I may put this mic down at some point. I don't know. I'm telling you, folks, there's one called Holy Ghost who is, there's two intercessors. There's one in heaven. His name is Jesus, the Lord of Lords. And Pastor preached that he is set at the right hand of the Father. But he said, when I go away, I'm going to send back a comforter. And most people don't even understand what a comforter is. It's not something you snuggle up when it's cold in your house. It's not somebody that's going to tickle you and say, it's okay, baby. You know, that's not what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost, I've been in the wee hours of the morning, and I say, God, let me tell you this. I've learned a lesson. Every time I've grieved and asked questions of God, 100% of the time, if I still ask God questions over a short period of time, the Holy Ghost will come on me, and he'll speak in a language that I do not know and that I do not understand. Read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul is very clear there. He says, you know, you pray in an unknown tongue and your understanding is not fruitful. But when you pray, for intercessor people, sometimes they can understand what you're praying. What I'm saying is I prayed mostly in English for intercessory prayer. The Spirit was with me. But sometimes when I was praying in my grief time, God, I don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit came on me. I said, God, every time. And I had another episode yesterday. He just comes on me like a cloud floating over. And guess what? Every time the cloud floats over and I feel bad, guess what the Holy Ghost does? He comes on the scene, like it says in Romans, and he says, I make intercession with things you can't comprehend or can't understand. I told the pastor this. I'm playing a 12-string guitar. I got one at the house. I was praying the other Saturday, just enjoying a song I like, one Marley and I used to sing. Just me, nobody there. It's like I was in the bedroom instead of the shower, because you can't play the guitar in the shower, you know. But I'm playing around there, and next thing I know, the Holy Spirit comes on me, and I'm singing and playing in tongues. I'm playing and singing in tongues. I said, never happened before. I've seen it happen, never experienced it. He said, I'm God. He said, I said, God. He said, my spirit, I'm God. What I'm telling you is, it's not enough, Pentecostal church at Alabaster, to have the Holy Ghost and say you have him and not let him be the master, praise God, of your life and your circumstances. I've had him open my mouth. I've had him open. Let me tell you this. It happened with I lost my daughter Cheryl in 96, more than I did. And it happened. And I said, God, how do you do this? He said, I'm God. I've told people things. How do you know that? I don't know how I know that. God told me to tell you that. I didn't figure it out. Let me tell you something. You don't have to figure it out or eavesdrop or gossip. If the Spirit tells you, the Spirit does not make. Back to what I'm saying. The intercessor here, the Bible says, the only person on planet Earth that knows the will of God, his name is Holy Ghost. So when I pray for my grief, I don't know how to pray. So he prays for me. And he prays to the one that's the intercessor to the Father. By the way, how many knows there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost? Yeah, yeah. I said, all that to say this. We're in a warfare, folks. This is not a game. This is not a video game we're in. I've been on the phone with family members who've got people going to jail and on drugs and all those kind of things. When I talk about a little phone call, how's things going? I got slain one night on the phone, and the phone's laying beside me. Now, I'd never been slain in church. I ain't never fell down dead yet, like I'm dead, you know. But I'm on my sofa, and I'm on with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. We're in a prayer meeting. And next thing I know, I've been out about 30 minutes with the phone still in my hand. Holy Ghost. You don't work it up. And you don't care what God does when you're hurt. So we're in a spiritual battle. And Peter's got it down here. He's got it down. Let me go real quick here. In verse 15 of this, and I'll hurry along, without being too much hurry, he takes all. In fact, verse 15 is part of a long sentence that starts way on up. And I'm not going to do the way on up stuff. We'll get it down here. And he's talking about who these people are. By the way, the Holy Ghost knows who they are. If it's ever something that we need, how many's ever been conned before? I got conned one time. And I got conned, and I said, how did I get conned? I'm a smart guy. Because the guy that was conning me was smarter than I was. How many know the Holy Ghost? We need discernment in the hour in which we live. Not discernment to point people. Discernment of what is true, what is not true. Discernment of what is real and not real. Discernment about things that are spiritual and not spiritual. And in fact, if you got your pencils out, I'll get them here in a minute. I'll let you write them down. But there's some spiritual things, and that's small s spirit. And I'll get there in a second. But in verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. How many's ever read that story in Numbers? Hey, God puts a lot of pages in that story. And by the way, guess how he was revealed? Took an angel and a donkey. Now let me tell you something, folks. If God can reveal through a donkey, how many knows that God can reveal things to Holy Ghost-filled people? We don't need an angel, folks, to reveal things. The Spirit can give us discernment about things. Now, some people are going around looking at everything. No. When the Spirit tells you something, we don't have to say, God, help me discern all the bad. I'm talking about everyday life. You mentioned another. You don't look. I don't look for the devil to have a confrontation with him. But when I do, I know my arsenal's packed. I got the Word in me. Let me tell you something, folks. The Spirit without the Word can't do it, and the Word without the Spirit can't do it. And we got too many people in the church that say, well, I know the Word. How about the Spirit? And some people who are spiritual won't read the Word. Yes. How many knows they work together? Yes. The Spirit needs the sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. So, and by the way, there's people out there trying to, they've got another thing on. And look at verse 17. The first one I want you to write down is there's the spirit of dryness. The spirit of dryness. Read this with me in verse 17. They are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest. By the way, they're wispy clouds that blow and there's no rain in them. to whom the midst of darkness is reserved. He's talking about here the people that say, you know, I got a good message for you, but there's nothing in it that sustains you. If you're listening to something, folks, and it's not edifying you and building you up, don't listen to it. If you're listening to a man or minister that's not teaching the truth, and by the way, I used to think they were out there. I'm not so sure that some aren't in here, in a sense, within the four walls of churches, that they've got another motive for it. It's called spirit of dryness. By the way, how many knows that the Spirit makes refreshing flow from the wells of salvation? How many saved tonight? If you're saved, and it's nothing that refreshes you, your salvation is not what it should be. Verse 18, the spirit of error. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through the much wantonness, that those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Listen to Brother Tweedy tonight. I got this from the Lord this afternoon. You can listen. A lot of people that listen to people that aren't preaching and teaching the truth will eventually get away from them, but what they were taught goes with them. Somebody say amen. Amen. How do you think we get some of the junk that comes in the church that's not even biblical? Somebody taught them somewhere. They say, well, I learned that over there. They're away from it. Or you got parents that get away from it, but they brought the kids up for the formative years and didn't teach them right. I've seen that as well. What I'm saying, the devil is slick. It's called the spirit of error. We don't like to hear that nowadays. We don't like to hear, things that are wrong. And what he's saying here is that people will escape from the teachers, but they have to deal with the spirit of error. Or I have people tell me all kind of crazy stuff. Where'd you get that? Well, I heard that someplace. Where did you hear that? Well, over here somewhere. You know, and so you got the spirit of dryness and the spirit of error. And then verse 19 gets to the third spirit. These are not the good spirits, they're the bad spirits. While they promise themselves liberty, they are themselves are servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought in bondage. It is called, well, look at verse 20. For after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're entangled again. How many knows there's a spirit of lawlessness in a lot of corners of Christianity today? You know, how many knows that liberty sets you free, but liberty is not lawlessness? Yeah, you can have liberty in the Lord, but lawlessness means I don't want to deal with anything the Bible says. I don't want to listen to anybody teaches me. I want to do it my own way. Tom T. Hall had a song one time years ago. Me and Jesus got a good thing going. If you and Jesus got a good thing going, it's based on the Word of God. If it's based on your opinion, you're in deep trouble because you've been deceived by the enemy. You've been deceived by the enemy. Now you say, now, Brother Tweedy, why'd you, what, those three laws, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. You got to be careful when you go in a Christian bookstore what you buy. You got to be careful what you listen to and watch on television, sometimes in the Christian venues. Used to we knew where they were. We don't know anymore. Some people preach and teach, you just got to feel good. You never hear about a blood salvation anymore. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, I've been talking about try to build a church without a spirit. I'll tell you one thing. If you can hear any preaching anywhere close around here as good as you heard this morning, you better go find it, folks. What I'm telling you is you got a gold mine here of the Word. You got a gold mine. What are you going to do with it? I won't get on your theme, but it's close. What are you going to do with it? How many wants to see people come out of bondage, folks? How many wants to see loved ones saved? I'm talking about gloriously delivered. He gave you the steps last week. One time I thought, said, I'm going to get around to church in a minute and run. He gave you the steps. If you don't get, you need to get those notes he gave you last week and put them in your Bible and look at them for a while. There's some keys to this. It don't just happen because we show up and say, Holy God. One of these days, I'm going to teach somewhere on the altar phenomena. The altar doesn't do anything for people that don't live in the Word and walk in the Spirit and do those kind of things. What did he say in Jeremiah? They live like the devil with Baal, and then every time they run to the temple, they stay in the temple. And God said, I'm tired of it. You can come to church here every time the door's open and go through all the motions. But are you making a difference against the spiritual laws that aren't good? By the way, I got good news to bring. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. And by the way, if you read down through verse 22 of Peter, you will see the Babylonian Antichrist spirit there. And by the way, the remedy for dryness and error and lawlessness and finally bondage is found in Isaiah chapter 11. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, I think it's the most dynamic scripture, and there's some wonderful scriptures in the book of Isaiah. But I'll tell you this, I carry those things around with me because, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, that he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after of hearing, but with righteousness shall he judge. Let me tell you something, folks. There's seven attributes of the Holy Ghost there. I was saved in over 45 years of old age before, and supposedly had the Spirit. Sometimes I wonder if I didn't sit on him for about 25 years. I'm going to tell you a true story. Marlene, in 2000, my wife and I went on a trip. I used to do training all over this country. Been in 44 states training hospital people. And I was down in Louisiana teaching a class down there, some hospitals down there. And we stayed in Covington, Louisiana, right there off the interstate. And I go in that night to the Best Western Hotel, and Marlene was in the restroom or something. And there's a guy that comes and says, I got a word for you traditional Pentecostals. I said, okay, what's this charismatic going to teach me? You know, so I turned the television up, and I got right on the edge of the bed. I'm listening. He says, there's some of you that's listening to me are traditional Pentecostals. He said, you will seek the Holy Ghost, you'll fast and you'll pray, and people will lay hands on you, and you'll wail, and you'll go through all the motions. And said, at some point, the Spirit comes on you, and you speak in a heavenly language, and you go back and sit on the pew, and you never move anymore. Ooh. He cleaned my clock. He cleaned my clock. I said, God, I remember when I sought the Holy Ghost. I remember when you filled me and I spoke those tongues. I said, God, I ain't done a whole lot with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not a blessing machine for you to get goosebumps, folks. Because I ain't had many goosebumps the last 7 months. I ain't had a whole lot of what you call worldly joy the last 7 months. But I know one thing. His Spirit, hallelujah, has been with me the whole way. Even when I did not feel spiritual, I've spoken things to people and things have happened just like I said it happened. And God would say, you didn't do it. I said, you're right. I don't feel like doing it. I was even apprehensive. Almost said no out there. Folks, I don't have an itch to preach. I don't have to scratch it. God says, you just let me lead you. We need some people that's led of the Spirit. Now, those seven attributes, I want you to listen to me now. Those seven attributes of Jesus are the same attributes that are in his Spirit when he said, I'm going to send back the Comforter to you. What I'm telling you is here, a lot of people don't understand that when the Holy Ghost comes, you fill up your quiver pretty much with the things you need to conduct spiritual warfare. Folks, we're in spiritual warfare out of the church, and we're in spiritual warfare in the church. I'm not satisfied with just coming to church anymore. I'm not satisfied that I got a nephew that got a warrant and they can't find him. They're going to put him back in jail. He's 23 years old. And I've been praying. I told my sister-in-law, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm praying that if they get him, that God will send somebody full of the Holy Ghost, praise God, in that jail across his path. I'm sick and tired of darkness prevailing, praise God. Folks, the only light that people are going to see is the light of a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled person. And I tell you what, the missionary evangelist here the other day, oh, he fired me up. He said, they're getting saved 28,000 a day in China, and it's a Pentecostal revival. Somebody say amen. It's going to take the Holy Ghost, folks. And I'm not talking about just speaking in tongues. I'm talking about the Spirit. When I'm ministering to people, I don't speak in tongues. I tell them what God tells me to tell them, well, they can understand it. And I tell them in English, and they'll say, how do you know that? Let me tell you another story happened. And I'm not bragging on myself. I didn't do it, folks. I didn't do it. If you live around me, you know that I'm probably the least spiritual person on my block from the outward. But what he does deep inside. I left that church I was telling you I was at. And they still don't know what happened. I didn't do anything but go up there and got in the middle of it. I didn't take anything up there. But I told the pastor on the way out, I said, God, give me a word for you. By the way, if God gives you a word, it'll happen, folks. Amen. How many of you guys might give you a word and it never happened? They meant well, probably. I said, God told me that we're going to be praying that you'll get an assistant. He calls me up a month later and said, by the way, remember when you prophesied on me in the parking lot? He said, and I didn't just say God didn't say, I told the kind of assistant he needed, the gifts the guy needed. I don't know how I knew that. I don't know. Don't know what happened. He said, he's here. And he's not in competition with me. He's a co-worker with me. And he said, God put him across my pathway. I said, God, I was the messenger. I didn't do it. What I'm saying is, folks, everybody under the sound of my voice, the Holy Ghost can use you more than you could ever imagine if you just let go and let God, not just in the church service, every day. Where I work, we're going to start having prayer. In fact, we got intercessory prayer. Pray for where I work. God's going to bless. I believe that. How many know God? Let me tell you something. The devil is stole, but God's given it back. I had a man that didn't pay me what I needed to be paid for $600,000. He never helped me pay it. But guess what? God took another Jewish man, and he's given it back to me, Pastor. How many knows you can't outgive God, folks? Let me tell you something. This church keeps giving, and I don't know why I'm going to give. I'm not even a pastor. If you give, not to get back, if you give, God will bless you beyond your comprehension. And this church is a giving church. I'm amazed at what this church has gave. What I'm saying is, let me go over these seven. Jim, get me out of here. Percy, take me to the house, as they used to say on Leonard's Losers. You guys remember that show? Pretty funny. Alabama never was on Leonard's Losers. It's always winners. Auburn could have been, though. Recently. I want you to look at the seven with me real quick. And think about this, folks. Now, remember, we're fighting against not only what we see out there in sense, we're fighting some things inside of Christianity. The spirit, waterless well, spirit of dryness. The spirit of error. I teach error reduction in hospitals, believe it or not. I've taught at medical schools, MD Anderson Cancer Center. They paid me a lot of money to come down and talk to docs about how do you prevent some of this stuff? What kind of structure do you need? You know, I told somebody I need to do something in the church. You know, how do you prevent get error into your being? Did you know this stuff jumps in you? If you listen to bad music, it jumps in you. If you watch things on TV, I like your story today about. By the way, I'm glad you didn't get to the part where it really got gross, on that mafia movie you was talking about, where they bleeped it out. You know. It'll get in you, folks. You can't get that stuff in you and come and serve God in a way where God does things in the supernatural realm. I'm just silly enough to believe, God, if you can send a man named Jody Fox across Jim Tweedy's path because I prayed, and I said, God, you know my heart. 750,000 people in Jefferson Shelby County, and I happen to go linger in a place he's going to shop. And three humans got blessed. And he's the fourth. Let me tell you a story about my son trying to sell his house. Had a new baby. Had to get a bigger house. Couldn't sell his house. So my sister-in-law, we got on the phone one night and said, enough of this. We're going to pray. I said, now let me tell you what I prayed for. I'm saying this for a reason. I said, God, you know he needs to sell that house. But I said, God, is there somebody that's got financing that needs to buy a house at a good price? It's called extending the blessing. There's something in Pentecostalism called selfishness that's got to go. It's got to go. It's about me. If you're going to church about just you, you're coming for the wrong reason. Anyway, we prayed. And when I say we prayed, I don't mean we just said a little prayer. We prayed in the spirit. Prayed on Wednesday. They're making two house payments. One house payment's tough in this economy. Two house payments is tough. We prayed on Wednesday. We agreed. And on Friday, the realtor called. And on Monday, had a contract. Now, I want to say something about this, too. He pays his tithes. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? If everybody would pay their tithes, and I don't know why I'm on pastor stuff. Forgive me. I don't mean to. I try not to get on the pastor's turf. I had an old Assembly of God preacher say, now, Brother Tweedy, when you ever preached, I wouldn't preach. He said, stay off the pastor's turf. I said, well, if he gives me a little license, I might, you know, I'll do that. Let me say this. If everybody paid their tithes, and by the way, the tithes aren't for the keeping of the building. Hello? Get an amen on that? How many knows in the Old Testament they had a place when you went into the temple where you put money in to maintain the temple? It's called an offering. This wasn't what I was supposed to be talking about. But there's a spiritual law there, folks. Don't expect God to bless you when you haven't been obedient to God and blessed others, because that's a selfish attitude. How many wants to see God do things in your life like you've never seen them before? I'm not talking about getting a blessing at church and you go out and you're the same. I'll tell you this. This is me. I'm not the same person I was August 25th, 2012. My journey has taken me. When the doctor says everything's looking good, and then your whole world falls apart after they said everything looked good. Kirkland Lynch said she's one of the best patients we've ever had coming out of this type of surgery. And I was devastated. I almost gave up on God. There are people here that's been down roads like that. The devil would, if it had not been for the word in my being, I believe this, I wouldn't have made it. Because I didn't feel it. I had to walk on what the word said. I said, God, you heal. Every night for 18 months, my wife and I prayed, God, we're knocking and we're seeking and we're asking one more time. But you know what? I haven't told many people this. She had cancer in both sides of her neck on different occasions. 96% of the people that have that, it gets in their lungs. It never got past here. There was no cancer in her body. God honored that. He honored that. But the Holy Ghost is not to make you feel good. He can put you down. He can slay you in the spirit. Things can happen in the spirit realm. But when you get up, you got to fight an ugly battle again. How many's going to stand with this man right here? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't just say this. He fed my soul the last 2 weeks. You need to be praying for him to keep preaching and to keep preaching. Not only pray for him, help him in the spirit realm. Let me hit the final seven. Here they are. I'll just close. I got up. I can see it better. By the way, I told you last week, God healed my tear ducts. And by the way, healed my dry eyes. My vision's better. What caused it? Grief. I don't know. Wisdom. Here it is. The Spirit of the Lord. Wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Very quickly. These are very important. If you're a young Christian, you need to circle this in your Bible. You'll find more ammunition here. You'll find a lot of places. Wisdom is having the ability to do things you don't quite understand how to do. Understanding is taking knowledge that don't mean a whole lot and you get a clear picture of what it is. How many know the Holy Ghost does that? The Spirit of counsel. I'm not a counselor, but God's been using me to counsel people. Not directly, indirectly. What's counsel? Giving people something that helps them make a choice on the road to take. What's might? Power in the Holy Ghost. Spirit of knowledge, something you didn't learn someplace where God gives you supernatural. And finally, the last one's the most important. I'm going to be very blunt tonight on this part. Help me, God. Most of the people probably in this building don't fear God. You say, how can you say that, Brother Tweedy? Because if you did, when this man or anybody else that fills this pulpit makes a call, instead of running that way out the door, you run to where you can find God. Read the Old Testament. The concept of fear is not running from God, but getting as close to Him as you can get to Him. You're not going to find it in the parking lot unless there's a revival out there. When you're in church twice or three times a week, get everything you can, because there's an enemy out there that's not only trying to steal your blessing, he's trying to steal your blessing for somebody else. How many wants to? And I says, help me, God. I say, God, help me fear you more. Help me run closer to you more. Stand with me. You can describe what I said, any adjective you want to use. Preach, teach, crazy. I really don't care. God's toughened me up. I just do what God tells me to do. Let me tell you this. How many wants to fear God? I'm talking about to fear God, not to be in awe of Him, but to be close to Him. How many wants to minister to people and see God move in the Spirit in your life to touch other people? Now, I don't go out every morning and say, God, now, who are you going to see across my path today? I don't go out and say, devil, where are you at? I'm going to kick you around. I just do what I do. I get up in the morning like a lot of people, do what you do in the morning. And you say, God, it's a day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Just lead me and guide me and direct me. My little grandson's one. In fact, Alex, he wants to come back and get in children's church over here. He said, Papa, you want to bring me back? I said, I'd put you in children's church. He said, that's okay. You can come back and get me. I lay my hands on my 9-month-old and my 4.5-year-old every time I say, God, anoint them. Oh, shandadada, bakuka, shatata. Put an anointing on their lives like never. Pray for my daughter-in-law, Romanian. I'd like to see her full of the Holy Ghost. How many's got people you know that need to be delivered or need to be blessed? It's called running to God. The equipment's there. The enemy's real. This is not a game. God can help us. If you want, say, God, teach me to fear more. May say this. If you're sincere, look out. Let Let me say this. There's nothing magical about an altar. I've studied this. There's the only thing that happened at the altar of the New Testament, we see the one in Hebrews that he preached this morning, is the cross. How many knows the altar was a place of sacrifice? And God don't want dead Christians at an altar. He says in Romans, I want a living sacrifice. If how many here, by the way, how many know God refills with the Holy Ghost? Yes. I used to think that was bunk. Boy, God whipped me. Phew. How many have been whipped by the Lord? I'm talking about chastised. I got a Catholic man that called me one day, and I thought I was his friend, he thought. And I looked at him as a nuisance because he never called or come around unless he wanted something. But you know what he told me? I've been watching your life for 10 years. He saw something in me, and I when he hung up that day, my sister would be like, in her house, I wept on the couch. Called on the cell phone and said, God, my life is an epistle seen and read of all men. Folks, Pentecost is real. How many wants to be full of the Spirit? We don't seek tongues, folks. The tongues will come. We seek an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Is anybody here? Do you want to make a difference in your sphere of the world? Do you want to make a difference in your family? I haven't even told you about the angels. When my sister had her seizure, the angels that got in the vehicle with her. And I'm on the phone praying for angels. I'm telling you, folks, I didn't know what else to pray. Mayo Clinic don't know what was wrong with her. But everything that went up came back down, and she's doing better. Folks, there's angels out there. God has got, you preach this one, who's a little lower than the angels? We are. But who is superior to the angels? He is.